We're doing the Drashot Aran. We're up to page Mem Dalid in the Shalem edition and Kuf Chaf Aleph in the Mosada of Kuk edition. The paragraph begins with Ulefi. And let's take a moment to remind ourselves where we're holding. We began with the verse about the month. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aharon ve'eretz Mitzrayim l'mor ha'chodesh hazeh lachem. This month is to you, Rosh Chodashim. And the Ran had earlier discussed the idea of Moshe and Aaron, why Aaron is included in this. And then he went on to discuss why is it HaChodesh HaZeh Lachim. And he began by discussing that the idea is that really naturally this month should not be the beginning of the year, because creation did not begin here. And then he said, he went into the Machlokas Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer, where the year begins in Tishrei, and the months begin with Nisan, because our beginning is in Nisan, even though creation was in Nisan, so the year should begin in Nisan. No, the year begins in Tishrei, because God judges the world in Tishrei. But the months begin in Nisan, not because of creation, but because our history begins in Nisan. We were taken out of Mitzrayim. And then he said, that's one understanding in HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, but our sages say that HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem is an indication that this month is in your hands. You have the control over the months. You have the control over the calendar. You can define when it's going to be Yom Kippur and when it's not going to be Yom Kippur. If the month is going to be a month of 30 days or 29 days, you have the full control of the calendar. Is it going to be a leap year? Is it not going to be a leap year? And then he brought the drasha about the words of Chazal, that the words of Chazal are like the darbin that keeps the cattle in line, keeps us going in the right place. And he asked, how does it work that we have conflicting opinions among Chazal? How could they all be from Hashem? Hashem is emet, and one opinion is accepted in Halacha, and the other opinion is not accepted in Halacha. And he answered that last week. He explained to us that the Torah, the written law, and the oral law were all given to Moshe at Sinai. And when Hashem gave Moshe the Torah at Sinai, Hashem showed Moshe that there would be multiple ways of understanding each halacha. And there isn't only one conclusion that is valid. Both conclusions can be valid. If you're going to say Shabbos is on Friday, so then you're off. If you're going to say on Shabbos you could light a fire, then you're off. But if you're going to say we have a new question, and in this new question we can derive from one source that it should be mutar, or from another source that it should be asur, and the question is which source is the better source to derive from, so then Moshe was taught at Sinai that there can be 49 sources to indicate one way and 49 sources to indicate the other way, and they're all valid. And that's where God said, train rabbis, train people who will be impartial, who will use the laws of derivation correctly, who have learned correctly, and then they will come to accounting, and then the human factor of human beings on such a high level, that will lead you to the right decision, and that's HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. It's in your hands. The Torah is given into our hands, and he brought the story of Rabbi Eliezer and his argument with the rabbis, that the rabbis could not agree with Rabbi Eliezer, because they didn't see it the way he did. Even though in heavens they said, that we side with Rabbi Eliezer. So does that mean Rabbi Eliezer was right? No. The rabbis were forbidden to switch sides because they didn't see it like Rabbi Eliezer. And the Torah says our responsibility is after, again, this is an important point, after we've had the training, after we are completely impartial and we apply the logic in accordance with the way Moshe Rabbeinu taught us, then we have to stick to our guns. If this is the way I think is right, then I have to stick to that. Even though in heaven they're telling me Rabbi Eliezer is right. But in heaven they also told us that the high court has to make a decision. So this isn't something that you and I can do. Our rabbis today don't have the capacity to have derivations like they did in the time of the Mishnah. But at any rate, in those times, it was on that level. In our times, it's on a different level. And so the rabbis didn't give in to Rabbi Eliezer, and they were right in not giving in, and that is the idea that the Torah is not in heaven anymore. The Torah was given to us, and that is the idea that the truth encompasses both opinions. And that's the idea that he quoted earlier, that The pasuk in Mishlei, the pasuk in Koheles tells us that it's all given from God. Yes.
So it's not that Rabbi Eliezer was wrong; it's just that he just wasn't halacha. Halacha. So the truth encompasses both opinions. It's just that one's halacha and one's not, even though they're
right.
Both right and contradictory.
Correct.
Okay.
Meaning, halacha is dynamic. And the fact that the halacha was one way this year doesn't mean it has to be that way next year. But you have to be very, very big for that. If in the period of the Second Temple they ruled that the libations have to be done differently than they had done it all the years of the First Temple, that's a pretty powerful ruling, no?
With David HaMelech, could it have, if I mean, the Sanhedrin in the days of Avot said that it was fine for her to marry, but what if in the days of David HaMelech, when they looked into this again, could they have said that no, this isn't the halakha, is that it's a sure to marry a Moabite woman, and then would all...
Right. That's a big discussion. How does that work? Right. Would we retroactively say that David was disqualified? Right. And the Gemara says it was raised, and it was rediscussed in the days of David HaMelech. Gemara says until one of the rabbis walked in and put a sword in the academy and said, this is the tradition I have from Shmuel. I have this tradition that goes back, and that this is the way the halacha is, and this is the tradition we have, and it's not a new question, but rather this question has been ruled upon, and this is the halacha. But Boaz also ruled that way. This ruling already dates back to Boaz, long before David.
So he comes in and he says, this is just now from Saul, but if the rest of the Sanhedrin said, no, we see it differently, then it wouldn't have...
So that's an excellent question. Why couldn't that be overturned? That deserves its own class.
Heaven
right.
says that, you know, Eliezer is right. I mean, Saul is a little bit lower level than, you know, but still, so, I mean, we'll see.
Okay, that means its own discussion, right? Right? That's a good question. Ulefi. Yeah.
When you had David HaMelech anointed by Shmuel, that would seem to say that Kodesh Baruch Hu was saying, obviously, the guy's a kosher guy.
Mm-hmm.
That would, I don't know, anybody come along and say, no, I don't care what the prophet does.
So that's why I didn't want to go into it. This goes into a discussion we had in our... we have a class in Jewish history, the Meiri Seder HaKabbalah, on Monday and Tuesday nights. So over there, a week or two ago, we had a discussion of the machloket that seems to be between the Meiri and the Rambam, where the Rambam goes very strong that a prophet has no role in halacha. Prophecy after Moshe Rabbeinu does not play a role in halacha, and the Meiri and probably the Kuzari do not learn that way. They learn that in Tosfos. They learn that when there are questions in halacha, prophecy could intervene, and then you come back to the question. Okay, that's why I didn't want to go into the question, because you have to start understanding how the Rambam would view the answer to that question and how the Meiri would view the answer to that question. What role did Shmuel play, like you're saying, when he anoints David? Did that play any role in this? You also have to be medayek in the Targum. Do we have your root with the Targum? We don't have a Megillas Rus with Targum, right? Look at the Targum where Boaz says to Rus, "Hugeid hugad li kol asher asit acharei mot ishech." When Boaz meets Rus for the first time in the field, she asks him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes? I'm not even like one of your maids." Targum says she said, "I'm a Moabite. I'm not even like one of the maids. You can't even marry me. No one can even marry me here. I'm a ger, but I'm a Moabite." And Boaz answers her, Hugeid hugad li. Told I have been told. And the Targum over there goes into a whole conversation between Rus and Boaz as to can she marry into Israel or can she not marry into Israel. And Boaz explains to her why she can. So you have to look at that conversation over there, what Boaz is telling her. Okay, so that, again, we're opening a Pandora's box. This is that's why I didn't want to go into it. But I'm saying, so over here also. And another question that we have to ask, if we're already asking questions, since when do swords enter Beis Medrash? What does that mean? You stick a sword in the ground and you say, this is what the tradition we have, and anyone who disagrees with this is going to get killed by this sword. Where'd that come from? How can you do that? So obviously there's something else going on here. So that also needs discussion. That's what I'm saying. This is there are a few points here that need discussion, and we're really taking a big sugiya that deserves a day or two of learning, and we're trying to encapsulize it in our 20-minute class here. It's not going to work. So we'll leave that. A different day, we'll get to it, Bezat Shem. Ulefi shemitzvah zo hi hatchalat haTorah, and being that this mitzvah, the mitzvah of Achodesh Hazeh Lachem, this month is going to be for you the first of the month, the first month, being that this is the beginning of the Torah technically, this is the first mitzvah the Jewish people got, Nirmaze HaShoresh beParashah Zo, so Hashem alluded to this fundamental principle that the rabbis are given their responsibility to decide halacha. This fundamental principle is indicated over here in the very first mitzvah we receive. Hashem says, the first mitzvah I'm giving you, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. You guys are responsible for the month. You guys are in control. K'mo shenilmaz bekan shorash hagmul va'onish. Just as over here we find an allusion to the idea of reward and punishment. In a minute he'll explain how that's alluded to here. Ki biyotzot ha-mitzvah atchalat ha-Torah, being that this mitzvah is really the beginning of the Torah. What does it mean, it's the beginning of the Torah? He keeps using those words. We had a whole book, Bereishis, and then Parsha Shmos, and Va'era, and Bo, and now finally, at the end of Bo, we have this mitzvah. What does it mean, it's the beginning of the Torah? So, there's a discussion among Rishonim, what does the word Torah mean? What does the word Torah mean? We call it in Aramaic, Oraisa. Now, if Torah is like Hora'ah, so then Hora'ah could mean teaching, or Hora'ah could mean direction. If we think Torah is about a way of life, if Torah is just mitzvot, so then yes, this is the beginning of Torah. But then you come back to the question, then what do I need everything else for? If I needed everything else, like Rashi says, so that we have some kind of answer for the nations. Okay, we're going here off on a big tangent. We're going to... Ramban says, and others, as we saw, that the beginning of the Torah teaches us the fundamentals of faith. We learn so much from the forefathers. We learn about reward and punishment, the Garden of Eden, the world to come. We learn so much. You needed all of that beginning. The question is, does Rashi agree with that? Rashi says the Torah should have began with here, with this mitzvah, Chodesh Hazeh Lachem, but Hashem knew the nations would come and tell us, you're robbers, you guys are immoral Jews, you took the land of Israel, so Hashem started the Torah with creation to tell us, I created the world, and because God created the world, He decides who He gives it to, and He said He's giving us the land of Israel. So an atheist is going to come and tell me that I'm immoral, and I'm going to tell him, no, but the Torah says. So he's going to say, but I don't care if the Torah says. So what does it help me that the Torah says? So is the answer to them, or is the answer to us? Right? The question is, what did Rashi mean by that? And how does Rashi view Torah? What is the role of the Torah? Yeah.
By you saying it's a question to them, or I mean, the answer to them, or the answer to us, we shouldn't have to justify it to ourselves, right?
Why?
It's if we're taught that Hashem gave it to us.
Oh, so this is where we're taught. That's exactly the point. That's what Rashi is saying. This is where we're taught. The whole story of Bereishis. Hashem tells Avram, I'll give you, I'll give your children. These are your descendants. Esav is this, Amalek is that. Yishmael is this, and Israel is something else. And this is all part of what we're being taught in Bereishis. Rashi goes in line with that, because Rashi learns that the storyline that leads us to back to the land of Israel begins with Parshas Vayeshev. Eile Tolos Yaakov. The following are the stories of Yaakov. Rashi says, I just finished telling you about Esav, everything you need to know. Now here's the story of Yaakov, how Yaakov ends up in Israel. anointing is, the Torah doesn't end up with, oh, and they landed in the land of Israel, because Moshe dies before that. But technically, that's an introduction to the rest of Torah, according to Rashi, the beginning of Vayeshev. Yeah?
So if Rashi says that Torah should have started with
Achodesh Zelachem, okay.
So what, that will not give us an insight into the creation of the world, into Easter of Jewish people without votes?
The history is important, probably. Wait. The history, I'm not sure, according to Rashi. According to Rashi, the history of the Avot might be part of our understanding of how we are entitled to the land of Israel.
Okay, but after many generations, we'll not know about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We'll just read, okay, we are in Egypt, so why do we have the right to go to the land of Israel? Right? We're getting out of Egypt. So, if there is no history about what happened before Abraham and Isaac and Jacob living in Israel, we'll be seeing us getting out of Egypt and going to a land that it seems that was not ours.
So you're saying the history is important according
right.
to Rashi?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
But how come Rashi can say that Torah should have started with this parsha or not?
Well, his answer is what you're saying. Yes. Rashi begins by saying, if the Torah is about mitzvot, so then just begin with the mitzvot. Why does the Torah begin with creation and everything else? Answer: because of Eretz Yisrael, because of what you're saying. Okay, so let's move forward. I just want us to notice this important line in the Ran, that the Ran says this is the beginning of the Torah, which gives us an indication a little bit as to how the Ran defines the word Torah, seemingly like Rashi. I think that people will have an easier time staying awake if we turn on the air conditioner. It's my impression. But if you guys are against it, so don't.
That's fine, but either way.
Experience has shown that... Gidon.
Mm-hmm.
I think you got to push that switch. The red one.
Then maybe the silver one.
Shabbat. Ve'eram kan ki ba'asotenu mitzvat Hashem yitbarach ninatzel ma'apgayim ha'raim. And Hashem, I'm sorry, I skipped the line. Ki biyot zot ha'mitzvah atchalat ha'Torah. Being that this mitzvah is the beginning of the Torah, ra'uy shiyu mezukan perushei ha'mitzvot. It's fitting that over here Hashem will have an allusion within this mitzvah to how we define all mitzvot. This is the first mitzvah. And there's this integral component in each mitzvah that the definition of the mitzvah is given to the hands of the rabbis. That's pretty important. You know, if you're going to have a guidebook, so then you have an introduction. If you're going to have an introduction, then the introduction should say, hi, I'm the author, and I'm giving the interpretation of my work to the rabbis. Right? Isn't that what we'd expect? God's giving us the Torah, so God should say, authored by God, Gracious Bara Elohim. Okay, we got that. Interpretations given over to rabbis that have studied and whatever and have the tradition, etc., etc., etc. Where does it say that? Shouldn't that be at the beginning? Says the Ran, it is in the beginning. That's what Hashem says. First mitzvah, Achodesh hazeh lachem. This month, the control of the month and the year, etc., and the calendar in your hands, rabbis. And this is prototypical. From now on, you know, mitzvot are given into lachem, into your hands, within confines, within the tradition. Ve'eram kan ki ba'asotenu mitzvot Hashem yitbarach ninatzel ma'apgayim ha'raim. And here Hashem indicated to them that if they do the mitzvot of Hashem, they'll be protected from bad things happening. Kmo she'ra'inu she'amitzvah hazot tzilata min ha'dever ha'oveh b'mitzrayim. As we find that this mitzvah, the mitzvah of the Korban Pesach, protected them from the plague that hit Egypt. All their firstborns are dropping like flies, and Israel stays alive. How come? That's an indication. Hashem's telling them, this is your first month, and you guys keep these mitzvot, and things will be okay for you. I'm going to kill the firstborn, and you guys are going to be okay. So Hashem is teaching them already a few basic concepts in mitzvot, that we have a responsibility to keep them, that the rabbis have a certain hand in how we define them, and that there's reward and punishment. The Egyptians are going to die, and you're not going to die. You're going to keep the mitzvot of this first month. This is all within that parsha. So the Ran is showing us how within the first mitzvah, Hashem purposely gave us a lot of information that we need for all mitzvot. Again, coming off of the idea that we discussed last week, that the idea that there's this great power that was given to the rabbis in defining the mitzvot. And the reason Hashem gave us the first mitzvah connected to such a powerful occurrence, not the first plague, not the second plague, but the tenth plague, the most powerful plague, the plague that takes the Egyptian god, the firstborn children of the Egyptians, and kills them. And here Hashem says, you keep my mitzvah, you do deal with this month and the Korban Pesach the way I told you, and you guys won't. Because Hashem wanted to show them that you keep the mitzvah, you go above the nature. And here the Ran is about to enter a concept which is very, very controversial. The concept of miracles. You guys seen the sign outside, understanding miracles? Here we're starting to see. The Ran, in one sentence over here, already gave us an indication of where he's headed. What did he say? By keeping the mitzvah of the Korban Pesach, we are above the nature. We're above nature. What does that mean? Makas Bechoros, I thought that the Egyptians dying was out of nature. Not that our staying alive. Which one? Or you could say both, you know. But which one was the nature? The nature was that the Egyptian firstborn should die or that we should stay alive? The Ran over here is saying, by us keeping the mitzvah, we were above nature and we didn't die. Seeming to say that the Egyptian deaths were within nature. And we're going to see that as we continue. Yeah?
I'm still a tiny bit off topic, so let me know if it's for another time.
So let's wait, yeah. Einenu mshubad legalgal vekochotav. We are not under the forces, the stars, the constellations, the zodiac. Vezeo shamu avotenu zal ani moshel ba'adam. And this is the concept. We have a very difficult Gemara. There's a Gemara in Moed Katan that quotes the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Tzadik moshel beirat Elokim." The tzadik rules with fear of God. So Chazal say, what's the pasuk saying? God says, I rule man. Umi moshel bi, and who rules me? God says, tzaddik, the righteous. Shani gozer gzera, because I can make a decree that something should happen. And the tzaddik comes and davens, bu mevatla, and he could undo my decree. That's a Gemara in Moed Katan. So the Gemara says, Hashem says, so to speak, the tzaddik rules me, because I can make a decree, and he could undo it. Kilomar, as if to say, sheloshi bativ letevam tziut. The tzaddik is not bound by the nature. The tzaddik can go against nature. And here we see that the Ran is telling us that when Hashem makes decrees, that's called nature. The tzaddik's capacity to undo Hashem's decrees is his capacity to overcome nature. That's not what we would think, right? We think if Hashem is making a decree, so Hashem's going against nature. Here the guy's heart is beating just fine, and a second later it's going to stop. That's unnatural. The tzaddik davens, and Hashem says, okay, I'll let his heart keep beating. Tells us the Ran, no. So there's a lot of depth in these lines of the Ran. We have to digest this. I want to continue, but I want you guys to think about what we read today. I'm leaving you a lot to work out, but you have to think about it. I don't think I have to spell everything out. Think about it and then come back with questions next week. And I don't mind if next week we spend the whole session reviewing what we read today, because we read so many important concepts today. I need you guys to think about it a little bit. See if you digest it. And then we'll continue.